Now, we have a special guest in studio, and we actually are going to be talking about a syndrome that is actually once was probably considered quite rare, but now it's actually something that I found quite intriguing because I only heard about it this past week, and I felt that, you know, I was completely intrigued by it, and it piqued my interest to the point where I felt that we needed to have a conversation about it here on Cape Talk. So in studio, I have with me Stephen Malherbe, and we are going to be talking about Klinefelter syndrome. And I'd just love to welcome you to the overnight show on Cape Talk. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And
good to be here.
Yes, and it's wonderful to have you in studio. And I must admit, this is the first time I have heard about a Klinefelter's syndrome. And, you know, I actually thought it was something quite rare, but it's actually not as rare as people think, is it?
No, it's not. And this is what surprises me, is that it's the most common anomaly of all chromosomal, I say disorders, but it's not a disorder. The stats are 1 in 450. It's not as rare as one would think out there.
So that's quite intriguing because, I mean, you know, when you actually hear about a syndrome for the first time, you think to yourself that it's not something that you hear in passing. But just so that our listeners can just gain more clarity on what it actually is, what is Klinefelter syndrome?
Klinefelter syndrome is when people are born with an extra men mostly are born with an extra X, 23rd sex chromosome. Women are XX, men are XY, and we have an XXY chromosome. And there are many complications that go around that.
And what are those complications? What
complications
happens?
Are anything from learning problems, language problems. We have problems with our muscle tone. Our muscle tone is not the same as... our muscle tone is probably closer to a woman's muscle tone than to a man's muscle tone. We don't have the same type of strength that a man has got. We also have pick up osteoporosis, which if women have women in, osteoporosis is more common amongst women than it is amongst men because of the estrogen levels. We also men tend to grow breasts out there. Is something called gynecomastia, and it's very common amongst men with Klinefelter syndrome.
So, just so you say that it actually is, quite common with Klinefelter syndrome, the last symptom that you mentioned. And when it comes to any sort of, when it comes to anything that is emotionally related, is there anything that is, I don't know, just not quite, maybe not as unusual, but let's say, for instance, if there may be just any sort of difficulty to express yourself in that instance, does that also come along with that?
Very much so. I think the most frustrating thing for men with Klinefelter syndrome is often when we talk out there is that we struggle with the words at times. We kind of, the words get mixed up. And I think because of society today, people and get impatient, and I'm one who tends to try and talk about something and I go all the way around and sort of come back to it, and a lot of times people are not interested in listening to it, and we get very frustrated because we can't voice what we actually want to say. And I just find that people just tend to continue the conversation over that.
And aside with those communicative challenges, what other challenges have you had? Because I understand that, this is something that is definitely close to your heart because you were diagnosed at the age of 17. Yeah. So how have you been dealing with Klinefelter syndrome? How have you actually just decided to manage it in your daily life?
Yes, well, you know what? There's no cure for this type of thing. You just have to get on with it. I made a conscious choice from 2010 I wrote a book, and after that I about my life living with Klinefelter syndrome, and after that I went about making an awareness for Klinefelter syndrome out there, because this is one of those syndromes that it doesn't get picked up in doctors' rooms. And making a small little dent there in the market, but just trying to help out other people who have got the similar syndrome, because men out there can't talk about it. It's just a very different. We live in South Africa where maybe we've been conditioned not to talk about things, and we've got to keep it to ourselves.
And I think it's such a tragedy because, especially in this age of enlightenment that we're in, I mean, we're trying to foster a safer environment for men to be more outspoken about these challenges that they're facing, especially when it comes to conditions such as Klinefelter syndrome, and that it's not a hindrance of any kind. It's actually, it's a different kind of ability that just needs to be managed in the most appropriate way, or just with the proper amount of information and also treatment. And speaking of treatment, what treatment do you constantly have to undergo in order to manage Klinefelter syndrome?
Basically, Klinefelter syndrome is we don't produce enough testosterone or very little testosterone. We have to either go on forms of injection to have testosterone to be administered to us, or there are, I take a cream once a day in order to maintain that I'm missing the word, yeah. To sort of bring us up to scratch, so we can have a lot more self-esteem and confidence and get out in the workplace. Because a lot of guys out there that go about undiagnosed don't have these type of things, and they just sort of get left behind.
And, you know, when it comes to just having certain things available to them, like you're saying, the different types of treatment and information, you know, thank goodness that you actually do have an NGO called, XXY47. And this also allows men to reach out to you and to also, share their experiences with you, because you've experienced this firsthand and you still are. You're managing this on a daily basis. And what would you advise to men once they've actually received a diagnosis, how do you think they should go about just internalizing it and also just finding a way to manage this on a daily basis?
You know, it's difficult out there, because the, you know, the biggest problem, as I say, going back, is that we don't have a support group in South Africa. When I come across somebody who's got Klinefelter syndrome, I normally try and meet up with that person, try and tell that person, look, it's not so bad, you know, and I try and steer them in the direction of, I can refer them to a doctor or endocrinologist that I'm seeing. And I try and stay in contact with all these people in South Africa. And to manage it, you know, it's one of those things you just have to get on with it. One of the biggest killers of having Klinefelter syndrome, if I can mention, yeah, is that we are sterile. We can't have children. And that's probably the biggest killer. So to try and talk to a fellow man about Klinefelter syndrome is often people may see themselves as not being man enough, and that comes up. It's very difficult. Made contact with one guy in particular, and just guy came around, we had a cup of coffee, and they just disappear. I never see them again. And I don't know if it's an embarrassment or if it's the shame. I think shame is the bigger thing, yeah.
And it saddens me, because this is a condition that's beyond their control. It's something that they are born with, and they actually don't realize that they may actually have it to begin with. But then once they are diagnosed, I think it's that whole mental shift. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, understandably so, one of the things about being manly is the fact that, you know, you are sterile, you're able to produce and have children. So it does chip away at your masculinity. But I mean, the fact that you are offering this platform just for support so that men can talk. And I think that's one big hurdle, aside from Klinefelter syndrome, just in general, that we still have to, one big hurdle that we definitely need to just make sure that we just tackle head on is men communicating and realizing that communicating is actually a form of strength in itself.
Have to communicate. Yes. You know, this is the biggest problem. And again, I mentioned South African men. I belong to a support group. I belong to Australian, American, and British support groups. Yeah, we all talk openly. They're closed groups, but men can talk about anything, about sex, about anything like that. In South African men, black, white, colour, doesn't matter. We all have a different mindset. We don't talk about anything like this. And everybody just kind of thinks you're going to just brush it away and it's going to go away. And it's trying to get past that stigma in a way.
And it is one stigma that that your organization is trying to actually just to challenge one day at a time. And just to, I mean, there could be men who are listening right now who may necessarily, they may be displaying these symptoms, but they have not been diagnosed yet. Yes. And, you know, when it also comes to that, just making that appointment, how would you advise for men to just mentally prepare themselves to do that? Because that in itself, just making an appointment, and, you know, because it's always that fear of the outcome of the results. So, how would you advise them to do that?
Yeah, it's a difficult call. Yeah. In the guys that I've spoken to, some men, I had a case with a guy in Mpumalanga, a black guy, and I say black and white because blacks tend, culturally, don't speak as openly as white people. White people are bad enough. And this young man contacted me from Mpumalanga and suspected that he had Klinefelter syndrome. He sent me an email and I said, look, there's nothing I can do. You've got to go and see an endocrinologist. Well, he went to go and see an endocrinologist and found out that he had it. And it's quite sad because the moment he found out he was diagnosed, he's gone. Oh. And again, I come back to, I don't know if it's because of the shame, because there's these different elements that are attached to it, not having children, learning problems. Because it's funny that if you've got a kid that's got a funny ear or something, we can all sort of say, well, you know what? He kind of looks cute because he's got a funny ear. But the moment you mention to people that my child's got a learning problem, straight away people think, you know what, he must be stupid or there's something wrong with you.
And that's the thing. It's the fact that people have this tendency. I mean, and also I just chalk it down to ignorance, because people choose to be dismissive without actually gathering the facts, without finding out what the underlying, what any of the symptoms are. And also just, I think, sensitivity as well. And speaking of which, you know, as much as it does affect the individual, the family members are also affected by it without a doubt. So how would you advise family members to be supportive of a man or of their father, their husband who has Klinefelter's? What kind of support structure can they offer?
I'd say the first thing is to recognize that your brother or father or, you know, your father or your male sibling has got this, and to not make it such a big deal is to try and treat that person as normal as possible. People need to talk about this. This is the whole thing with Klinefelter syndrome. If nobody speaks about it, even in families, we have a member in our NPO whose son's got Klinefelter syndrome, but nobody knows about it. And because they may be too embarrassed to talk about it. And one needs to move past that. This needs to become something like when they have Diabetes Week. This week we're having Klinefelter's Week, and we need to get to that level.
And I was actually, funny enough, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking about, you know, June is Men's Month, and you also have Movember as well, which is also a great opportunity to speak about this. So do you plan on doing anything in November to bring awareness to Klinefelter syndrome?
Well, you know, my partner's daughter actually came up with a great thing. He's having a Klinefelter syndrome on the 10th of October, being the Roman numericals, the X.
Yes.
And on the 10th day, having the X again, and the end of the year, XXY, and having it on the 10th of October every year. So that'll be great to try and have that. I'm trying to get these Australians to see if we can all have a Klinefelter syndrome awareness day. Well, like you got with cancer, you have a cancer awareness day, and it's on the same day every year.
Absolutely. And you know, it's always important to have just either a special day, a week, a month even. If we can devote a month, an entire month, to bringing awareness to this, so many men will come forward. And I think it's the whole thing of just offering them that space where they're able to communicate their challenges, and also especially just after being diagnosed, post-diagnosis, and how to move forward. You're listening to the Late Nights, the Overnight Show on Cape Talk. And I'm speaking to Stephen Malhoba, and he was diagnosed with Klinefelter Klinefelter syndrome, and he also has an NPO called XXY47, and he is offering just support to men who are listening, who may exhibit certain symptoms, especially as a part of Klinefelter syndrome, and also just for emotional support, because this is not something that is easy to deal with on a daily basis. So that is why XXY47 is in place for you. If that is you listening, then do know that you do have a support structure in the form of this MPO. And I just have about two more questions before we wrap up the conversation. So it was just in the back of my mind, I was also wondering, is Klinefelter syndrome hereditary?
No, not at all, no. They don't know where it comes from. It was just discovered in 1942 by Dr. Harry Klinefelter in America. But I think it's just one of those things that plonks out of the air. Just however, there's a mix up in the meiosis, if I'm pronouncing correctly, but nobody knows where it comes from.
So there's still some more, I mean, of course, because it's, well, it's not as rare, but there's still more research being done. And have there actually been any, more developments in regards to Klinefelter syndrome that you know of, or there's still?
You know what? I think the biggest problem with Klinefelter syndrome is that when doctors are sitting across the desk and they see that their son has been diagnosed with this, is they are quoting from medical journals that have been written 50, 60 years ago. Those journals need to change. That's the biggest problem. And it all starts with your normal GP. So when he suspects that there's Klinefelter syndrome, the problem is he goes back to a medical journal and realizes, and he's quoting stuff that is long past. You know, they used to say that we will all have an IQ of like 90. And straight away, people would put you into a bracket that you're stupid.
Oh, my goodness.
They need to change those medical journals. But those medical journals apply to every country because it's the same story I hear with the support groups.
So there actually needs to be, I think, more research and more just focused case studies, I think, in order to enhance and update the research.
Well, I wish there was somebody in South Africa, because we're quoting our stats very much on the Australian stats. I wish there was somebody in this country who would do their thesis on Klinefelter syndrome, so that we could have our own studies with our different male population in this country.
So if there are any future doctors listening, and if you are looking for a subject for your thesis, this is definitely something to look into, Klinefelter syndrome. And also, before we go, I've got two more questions. The costs involved, because, you know, whenever someone is diagnosed with a syndrome of sorts, you always think about the treatments and also having to go for constant treatments, the appointments, and what are the costs usually involved in regards to managing this on a daily basis?
It normally requires a blood test, and the cost of this is probably another problem we have. There's a blood test that's called a karyotype blood test, and the cost of that is 2,500 rand. Now, you can imagine, if you don't have a medical aid or a hospital plan, and your kid, you suspect he's diagnosed with Klinefelter syndrome, who's going to come up with this type of money to pay for the karyotype blood test? And that's just the first step, because later on, your kid may have to go onto Ritalin because there's learning problems and needing concentration problems, and so there's medication there. Later on in their teens, they're going to have to take testosterone. Testosterone can run up to, the testosterone that I'm on costs close to 2,000 rand.
Oh my
And
goodness.
None of this is covered by medical schemes board. Any of that.
And that was actually my next question, if medical aid actually covers this, and if not, why? What's their reason?
They don't, because Klinefelter syndrome is not recognized as a chronic in this country. Again, that's another thing that needs to be changed, because if you have any complication that happens out there, that you've got, you pick up something with osteoporosis and broken bones, and you say, I have Klinefelter syndrome, a lot of these medical aids don't pay out because they don't recognize Klinefelter syndrome.
Because surely, I mean, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because surely infertility should be considered as chronic or classified as chronic. So I find that quite alarming, actually.
Yeah, but of course, and I'm in touch with two guys who were diagnosed probably about 6 months ago. And the cost involved, I think a few medical aids cover a little bit of the fertility costs involved, but they don't cover everything. And it runs up into the 60 to the 80,000 rand mark. So it's somewhere along the line, there's a shortfall where guys have got to come up with 20,000-30,000 rand, and that's the biggest problem. Again, if Klinefelter's was recognised as a diabetes or anyone, the others out there, maybe we get past this. Maybe things can change then.
And things definitely do need to change. I do have to round off the conversation, but before we do wrap this up, though, I would just love to just relay some information. Well, if in regards to where they can find more information about Klinefelter syndrome, especially the men who may be exhibiting these symptoms, or just people who want to find out more, or doctors who may also want to become involved with the research aspect of this, where can they find more information on this?
They can go onto our website, www.xxy47.co.za, or alternatively, they can go onto our email address. It's info@xxy47.co.za.
And thank you, Stephen. Thank you so much for coming into studio. I've learned so much about Klinefelter's, and I'm also praying that more research is conducted into this. And also I'm praying that many men, of course, that many men do reach out to us and of course reach out to XXY47. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
We hope to have you in studio again soon. Thank you.
Much appreciated.